Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Poetry Month celebration with poet Valerie Beers. You can read about Valerie on the episode information page. Everyone, the call-in number is 646-787-1631 if you'd like to call in and talk with Valerie. So without further ado, let's welcome Valerie Beers. Valerie, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for welcoming me.
Oh, you're more than welcome, to use that term again. So let's start with some poetry.
Okay. It is the first day of National Poetry Month, which you reminded me of, as if I need reminding. And the poetry prompt that I put on Poetry Pasta is Punchline. Can I say enough P's with that? But I'll start off with a poem about that. All right. The joke is on me. I tried too hard. Shame on me now. The end.
All right. Is that a haiku?
No, it's in the book. Was that?
All right. That's a haiku.
No, it's not a haiku. I could make it into a haiku.
No.
Haikus are to me.
Know. Well, the reason I asked if it was a haiku is that I know you love haikus.
I do love haikus. I do.
I know you love haikus, and I hope you're prepared tonight to share as many as you can.
Yes, I am. Haikus are, and this is in the book, haikus are a type of poetry prompt to me. If you can't write a whole poem, you've only got, 17 syllables to write to share your moment.
I like that. So, again, let's begin this journey and share a few poems.
Okay. What would you, let me see. Oh, that poem, someone told me, because I was like, what should I read? And someone told me, read what you're most proud of. So I'm going to read Lip Service, which is in the book. And Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram said very nice words about it. So I'm going to read this. This is called Lip Service. Will you give me rockstar treatment? Undercover backstage. VIP. Text. Can I get the pass? I love the attention. Hold on. This is much better. Will you give me rockstar treatment? Undercover backstage. VIP text. Can I get the pass? I love the attention and inspiration and motivation. I'll pay the lip service. gladly, madly, sadly. The end.
Wow. You know, I've always liked that piece, that you paid them little.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let me ask this question. Why is poetry why is it important?
See, it is important, I think, because it's very truthful. You know, you're getting the stripped down truth of a situation, you know, when you read it. That's what I think. It's the most important thing. And we all want poetry when, you know, someone dies or a baby is born or, you know, some occasion like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that way.
All right. What sparked your initial love of poetry?
My initial love of poetry was sparked with playing with words. No, I found that two words sort of rhymed, and I was like, what else can I do with this? I'd never thought of words that way. This was about seventh grade.
Right. So it was in seventh grade.
Yes. Yes, I said that I wrote my first poem in seventh grade. Got a couple poems published in high school. The high school put out a newsletter or a magazine, and it was for mostly the creative writing class, which I was in, and it's like, and they accepted my poetry. It's like, wow.
And
I've been writing ever since.
And you've been writing ever since, okay. Well, it's since you've been writing ever since. Favor us with another set of poems.
All right, let's see. I'm really proud of this one. This is a long one, but I'm very proud of it. This is called Sense of Sameness. The familiarity and sense of sameness didn't negate the awkwardness, the strangeness, the differentness. I touched your car, your chest, your arm, to remember, tactile. I remind you of who you are. I knew you would already know. The end.
Beautiful.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Yes.
Share some more. Share some more. I'm quite excited that you're with me tonight. So again, I want
some
you to
some more poems.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. We talked about this a little bit. I didn't know what to read, but now that it's in front of me, it's like, I like all these, so I'll read them. This is called Starpole. This is called Starpole, and it's a poem. It's a long poem, long for me. Your Starpole sucks me in like a black hole. I orbit places you're at. Leave my breadcrumbs. Hope you noticed. I can never catch you, shooting star, traveling at the speed of light. On your way to Mars. The end.
Continue.
Okay, I don't want to read anything from details because we've already talked about that. Here's one that I submitted for the 30 for 30 contest, which I am a participant in this year, this April, and the challenge is a two-word poem, but this is way more than two. Did I say two words? Two lines. This is way more than two lines, though. This is called Escapism. And I really like this poem. Music and memories, beers and years, whiskey and words, perspective and poems, time travel and the color red, YouTube and you, dogs and daydreams, music and memories, Whiskey and Words, Perspective and Poems, Haunt and Hurt and Remind Me, Beers and Years, Time Travel and the Color Red, YouTube and You, Dogs and Daydreams, Help Remind Me Who I Still Am. The end.
Valerie, let's take a brief break and we'll be right back.
All right.
My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and welcome to Quintessential Listening Poetry. I am here tonight with Valerie Beers. If you'd like to call in and talk with Valerie, please call 646-787-1631. Valerie, I have a question for you.
I hope I have an answer.
All right. How does a poem begin for you, with an idea, a form, or an image?
I thought about this. I was looking through that, and I was thinking about that. It starts with a word or a phrase that, you know, an empty soda can, and if you have a pebble in it, it rattles around, and you
yes.
really can't come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it starts for me. If I remember something, like a word or a phrase, I write it down. And then it might be a long time. It might not be a long time until I add to it. But that's how it usually starts.
Right. All right. Tell us a bit about Poetry Pasta, about your website.
Well, about my website, it's rather selfish, actually. I myself like being shown off on websites, and I like when people not publish my words and things like that. So years ago, Franco Esposito and I don't know where he is now. Franco, if you're out there, we started Poetry Pasta so we could show off new poets. So it's sort of like paying it forward.
All right, pay it forward. I like that.
Yeah.
Do you have one poem that you almost didn't post on your website due to it being too personal? Did you post it after all? Or just please tell us about one poem that you didn't post initially.
I don't know. I don't think I didn't post anything because I thought it was too personal.
Mm-hmm.
Just because sometimes now we're getting into something boring, but you post something on the internet, it might be considered, and there's a very strong likelihood of this, previously published. And a lot of publishers will not touch things that have been previously published. So even if you put it on your own page, on Facebook, if you put on Instagram, anything like that, it might be considered previously published. So I do a lot of links. Here's a link to this poem I wrote. Here's a link to this poem I wrote.
So you can't really do that because it's viewed as being previously published.
Right.
Hopefully everyone hears
and,
that's important information.
Yeah. And, you know, Poetry Pasta, we don't care about things like that. If you feel good about what you've written, send it. Send it to us. Send this to me. I will, you know, as long as it's not hateful or racist or, you know, just bad, I'll put it up. I will publish your words. I want to. I want to show off new poetry and new poets and things like that.
As you think about it, poets tend to have favorite poets that they visit often. Can you suggest to some of our listeners poets that they should choose from? They might enjoy.
I really like Erica Jong. She started off as a poet. She's written novels. Everyone knows, not everyone, but her most popular novel was her first one called Fear of Flying, published in the 1970s. Yes,
I remember that novel. Yes.
That is her most popular work, but she started off as a poet. So Erica Jong, I really like Dorothy Parker. She's very sarcastic and caustic witty, so if you like that kind of stuff. I like Amy Lowell. She does everything I've read by Amy Lowell is very short. Short poems. Mm-hmm. I like those.
Okay.
All right. Neil Hilborn. He's a new poet. Not new, mm-hmm. but he's not in the old school class of who I just mentioned. He's a newer poet. He came to the University of Maine at Orono, which is in Maine, obviously. Yeah.
Okay.
So check out Neil Hilborn. Check out anybody. Read a lot of poetry. See what speaks to you.
Mm-hmm.
Things that I like, someone else might not like. Something
right.
they like, I might not like.
You might
something
not
you
like.
Like, I might not like. So, read a lot of, just read a lot and go with what speaks to you, what you really like and can relate to.
Well, you know what I like?
What?
All of your work. So please share some more. Okay. So please share some more of your work with our listening audience.
All right. Here's another poem I am particularly proud of. This is another poem from the 30 for 30 contest. I think this was last year. And most times there's a theme, and the theme for this poem was In Your Wildest Dreams. So that's what I went with. That's the title of it. It's called In Your Wildest Dreams. I'm moving to Croatia to be a poet on YouTube. I'm the queen, dimpled Prince Dean, Lady Rachel of the Ridge. My wildest dreams are dreamed on a rural ridge where wildlife lives. Unpheasant the partridge checks in a couple times a season. Woodpeckers tapping for dominance in my backyard. The dead deer in the road. White car smoking. Wind ruffling the brown fur on its neck. Even my cat is described as a little wild creature by the internet. Alexa, how do you say poet in Croatian? The end.
I like that. You know,
and someone actually did tell me.
You mentioned 30.
Someone told
30.
Me how to say poet. What did
you say?
I'm sorry.
How do you say
it's
poet
written down somewhere. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
Maybe if we take another break, I'll look for
okay.
it, yes.
Okay, we'll take a longer break then. Well, you've mentioned 30 for 30, which is pretty much National Poetry Month. Why, since you're my first guest to talk about National Poetry Month, why is the month important?
It's important. It just puts poetry in the forefront of people's minds, I hope. you know, there's National Poetry Month. There's Poem in Your Pocket Day. It's just, it's remembering poetry is not dead. I guess that's how you say it. It's very much alive, very vibrant, very relevant. Don't forget about it. We have a whole month for it.
That's true. Well, what are some of the predominant themes that run through your work?
Predominant themes are me, situations that I've been in. Situations I've been in. Actually, there are some lines from books. There are some lines from music. But mostly, the predominant themes are things I've done.
Okay.
That I want to remember.
Now, do you have a set of haikus that reflect one of your predominant themes?
I don't have a set of haikus like that.
Mm-hmm.
I did try to group them together.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Oh, there is one poem I have to read.
All right.
And I, this has never been read out loud, so I have to read this. This was right. On my way to from a trip from England to Maine. This is called No Fear of Flying, the Xanax poem. Clouds are floating cotton. Cars look like twinkling bits of glass as we glide by. I know the Xanax is working. As I stare at the tiny earth below, a tiny-looking plane is below us going the other way. Tiny? It could be as big as this MD-80. Cloud cover so thick, it's like a forever mattress. Sometimes we fly through it, whiteout. Turbulence. Boats look like tiny bath toys. Bank. With my wings behind me, I fly. Buildings are toy blocks, stacked up so neat. Carpeting of trees to break our fall. Did I say that? The Xanax is working. Closer now. Toy boats. A little bigger now. Dot the calm water. I even watched us land. The end.
Did you state that you even watched dust land?
I even watched us land. U.S.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Usually I have the shade down. I'm like, oh, I hope we make it.
I can understand that. So you... Poets hail from all over the world. Where do you hail from?
I originally hail from Southern California. Originally. Then moved to Bangor. Then I moved here.
Which is?
Passamaquoddy. Which is very hard to say.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question. Living in Maine,
okay.
How is that reflected in your work?
I have a lot of poems and haikus about spring. Spring being cold, winters being long, what winter looks like. I wrote a poem. I don't think it's in the book. I'm pretty sure it isn't. But I wrote a haiku about white snow and white exhaust from cars that I'd never noticed before.
Please share some more of your work.
All right. I don't think this is indicative of just Maine. I think this happens everywhere, but this is a haiku. It's very short. As you know, this is called Road Construction. Guess what was happening in Maine when I wrote this? the endless long wait. Red, orange, fast, slow, stop, go. Smoothness is worth it. The end.
Please share another.
This is, I love this one. This is called Retro. And it's also a haiku, and I'm very, I like this haiku a lot. It's called Retro. Make me a mixtape for the new Walkman I got. Retro love songs, please. The end.
I like that one, too. I like that one, too.
Yeah.
Do you sit and think through every word of every stanza, or do you write freely and allow the words to flow?
I never rewrite. I've tried to. I just can't do it. I have to sit down. Well, no, that's not true. If it's about a certain subject, let's take escapism. You know, that was the or escape was the prompt. So I thought about it. I'm like, escape, escapism. What does escape sound like in different languages? What does it look like? Things like that.
Well, let's take another break. This is a longer break.
All right.
And we'll be right back. Back to Quintessence Listening Poetry. I am here with Valerie Beers, a very special guest, my first guest of National Poetry Month. Valerie, are you there?
I am. All
right.
I'm still here.
Fantastic. Please share some more of your work.
All right. This is, remember when I said that sometimes I'm inspired by lines that I read from books? Well, this
yes.
is a haiku that I wrote about. I was reading a book at the time, but this is a haiku about something I read called Words. I would steal the words off the page to make them true. What words would those be?
What words would those be?
Who, you know, it's very open-ended. It's like, you'd steal the words off the page. What would the words be? You know, I'm very
you know,
much, I want the reader to interpret it and take away from it what they think it is. So I try to leave it sort of open-ended like that.
Yes.
Unless it's
yes,
close-ended of something I did.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to explain it.
Well, let me ask this question. All poets usually have several words that come up over and over again, words or sentences that they just can't help but use. What are three of your absolute favorite words to use in your work? If you have three. Maybe it's more.
probably the word sorry. I'm always saying sorry about things.
All right.
I'm just trying to think of my poems. Well, I use the word words a lot. Can I think of one more? Love. Like or love. Those would be the three that I think I use the most.
So like or love, words, and sorry.
Yes, I think so.
All right.
I think we're seeing a theme here. I think we're seeing a pattern.
I think so, too. What are some of the ingredients that go into making a poem? A poem is a concoction. So what goes into the concoction of making a poem?
Let's see. To make a poem, I don't know if I'm saying this correctly or not, if people are going to understand, but the right amount of words. Not too many, not enough. Don't tell me the moon is shining. Tell me about how the broken shards look on the water. The broken shards of moonlight, I don't know. Enough words, the right words. You know, if you're making a cake, you don't use the wrong ingredients. Or maybe you do. The right words. What else goes into crafting it? Time. Give yourself time because you changes. Is that how you craft it? You're going to change things. You are. You're not going to feel the same way about something, and you're going to change the words. When I know a poem is done is when I think I've got the scene captured. Hate that word, captured. I have the scene shared, and I can share it with somebody and give them a complete picture.
I like that piece in terms of being able to share your work with others. I think that, I think that's important. I think that's really, really important.
I really want people to understand my work. You know, it's not obscure. Please understand it. You know, a lot of people don't read poetry because they think, oh, I don't get the kind of stuff. I want people to get my words. Please understand. Please get it.
All right. Well, share some more of your work so that we can grab those words.
All right. Let's see. Oh, here's two haikus. They're about my best friends. One's name is Nit Noi. The other's name is Wendy. So the first one is for Nit Noi, and it's a haiku. They're both haikus. The first one is for Nit Noi, the second one is for Wendy, and you will hear it. But this is for Nit Noi, my friend, my best friend. It's called Justifiable, and it's a haiku. Psycho is the norm. Just so is now justified. We are who we are. The end of that one. And this one, thank you. This one is titled For Wendy. This is about something she gave me for my birthday. For Wendy. Purple Dutch oven. I love it so very much. I will never cook. The end.
I'm sure they both would like those pieces.
Oh, yes. They both heard them. It's like, yeah, of course. Ah, you were asking me about what does Maine look like, or how does Maine influence your work?
Yes.
I have another haiku. Wow, surprise, surprise. That captures it or shows you what it's like or what my experience is when I step outside. This is called Frozen Mud. The mud is frozen. All leaves are shivering. It is spring in Maine. The end.
I need to visit Maine one day. I've been sharing this with you for how long now? 4 or 5 years?
A long time.
Well,
Come in summertime. Come in summertime. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
All right. All right, I
will. Don't come in winter or fall. Or spring.
Okay. Or spring, all right. Many poets have different methods for writing. Some write on paper and then transmit to the blog. Others type their work out word by word and then transport. What is your preferred method of writing? Your preferred writing method?
I really like, I'm old school. This is going to show my age probably. I really like having a pen and some paper so I can make notes. I might transpose it to on my computer just so I can read it easier. But I really like writing things down on paper. I have a bunch of journals for that, and that's what I usually do. I usually write with pen and paper, and I've tried ink and quill, and, you know, it doesn't work as well as you think it would.
You know, some poets also are active in other creative areas. What are some of your favorite non-poetry literary activities?
I would really like to try painting. I would really like to try that. I don't think I'd be very good at it. I'm not a great artist. Oh my God, I want to talk about this after, but I would like to try painting because painting is, it seems like it's like photography. Oh, and that's something else I would like to try. I don't have the eye for it. I would like to try photography too. Painting is like photography, as in you're sharing a moment, you're capturing it, but it's just in a different medium. I would like to try that.
All right. Where do you write, Valerie? You write in your home, you write somewhere in the city?
Anywhere. It doesn't matter, wherever inspiration hits. I've been sitting in my chair right here. I've been sitting in the car in the parking lot waiting for my daughter to come from school. Wherever inspiration strikes, you better answer.
Well, speaking of inspiration striking, please share some more of your work.
All right. Let's see. Well, I was, excuse me, I was talking about that I have some poems that are grouped together by holiday. So this is called Halloween Hangover, and it's a haiku. And I noticed this. That's how I write poems, things I notice. I notice the day after holidays, you know, you feel really good, and you do all that great stuff, and then the next day you're like, oh, what did I do? This is called Halloween Hangover. Costumes and pictures remind me. Empty candy wrappers accuse me. The end.
On that note, we'll be right back. you'd like to speak to Valerie, please call 646-787-1631. She's fun to talk to. All right, Valerie, favor us again with some of your work.
All right. This is about, I wrote a lot about Christmas. If people don't celebrate Christmas, I apologize for, you know, writing this down and saying it out loud, but it was relevant to me at the time. This is about Christmas at my daughter's school. It's called Christmas at ESS. And it says, Christmas vacation, holiday store in the gym. I can't park there now. The end. And then there's one about Christmas morning. I'm sorry, what? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Michael.
No, please, please, please. I'm just so thrilled that you're here. Please continue.
This is about Christmas morning. Again, something I noticed about my family, including myself. I can't leave myself out of this. But it's called Christmas Morning, and it's a haiku. Holiday music, cinnamon rolls, and we're all on technology. The end.
Do you think you were meant to be a poet?
Oh, I don't know. I just knew that I was a writer. You know, I've been writing short stories since I was in third grade. They weren't good. I'm just saying. But I've been writing, you know, my whole life. So it's like, okay, I'm a writer. Was I destined to be a poet? I don't know. Maybe. I certainly think that way. I think about words, and I think about what they rhyme with and how they fit together. So maybe I was.
Now, you share that you've written short stories. What is the qualitative difference between poetry and a short story? Fiction.
A short story, to me, I think, gives you more detail. It's probably, I don't say this, you know, half of it is fiction. A lot of it's fiction. So I don't think poetry's fiction. I couldn't write about something I don't know about. I find that very difficult. I have to write about things that I know about or I've done. I forgot the question. Writing? Poetry? Was I destined?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe.
All right. Maybe. Okay.
Nobody thinks about words as much as I do. It's like,
all right,
do you ever
all
not
right.
think about words? No.
Well, there's a statement that some people say that the world will... Some say that to see the world with complete honesty, one should look to comedians, artists, and poets. What do you think emerges naturally from your work? What emerges from Valerie?
The truth about a situation.
Okay.
And that, see, poems to me can come in series, you know, this, you know, poem A looks at a situation from this perspective, poem B looks at this from this perspective, things like that. But what emanates for me is, I'm going to tell you the truth. You're not going to like, you might not like it. You might not like it, but what emanates for me is the truth of our situation or how I want things to be. And that's a good way to write anything. Write about how you want it to be, if you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you belong to a poetry writing group?
I used to belong to a writer's group at the local library. They've now disbanded. I don't know where any of them are. But, yeah, yes, I was. And there are groups in Maine that I can join. And, yes, I have been a member. I'm not currently a member of any sort of writing or poetry group right now.
Okay. Do you attend poetry readings?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm hoping to attend a lot this month. I'm hoping to host one. Excuse me. I'm hoping to host one this month. I really am. But yes, I like to go to poetry readings and hear the new words, see the faces, the new faces, you know, just tell people, hey, I enjoyed that, because that's what people want to hear.
Well, let's talk about your book and your upcoming book. Your first book of poems is titled Details, and
published
by Thomas Hill Publishing and available on Amazon.com. And your new your upcoming book is titled what?
Scratching the Surface.
It's not yet available, am I correct?
It's probably going to be published this week.
Oh, wow.
But it's not available right now.
Okay.
But it should be available this week.
Well, tell us about
it'll
Details.
Details was an e. Oh, I want to say one thing. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't know too much. But Details might be revived because there is a publishing service out there that only deals with previously published books, and you have to send them like a PDF or a DOC file, and I have to find that. But that was my first book, yes.
What is the theme in Details? What are the predominant themes?
The predominant theme in Details is, I don't think I've ever said this anywhere, but I think the theme in Details is unrequited love. That's what I think it is.
What about the theme?
And I know that's a big word.
That's a big word.
Not only love, just not returned. You know, affection, friendship, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can put yourself.
No, please go ahead. I'm just excited.
I talk too much.
No, you don't. I'm just excited. What about the themes that are in Scratching the Surface?
There's really no theme to Scratching the Surface. I wanted to do a book of haikus because I have so many of them and I like haikus. I like short poems. I wouldn't say there was a particular theme to Scratching the Surface. I just picked out the best haikus and my favorite poems.
So if you had to convince a friend or colleague to read Scratching the Surface, what might you tell them?
I'd have tic-tacs in my pocket, and I'd saddle up and beside them, and I'd be like, hey, have you read this book? No. And I'd say, do you like poems? You know, they'd probably say no. But if I knew them, I might say, do you like my words? And they'd say, oh, yeah, I do. Oh, well, I happen to have a copy of my words right here. And I'd, you know, pass over Scratching the Surface and be like, here you go. Or I'd be like, you know, in an alley with a long trench coat on, you know, opening my coat going, hey, kid, you want a book?
If you were...
No, I don't know what to say. Please.
That's okay. has your perception of poetry changed from the beginning when you first started till now?
It hasn't really changed. The only thing that's changed really is the number of words I know and the way I use them. You know, because when I was younger, I was very much, you know, I was very much this word goes with this word, and I didn't even think of this word. And now it's like, maybe this word could go with this word, or I can combine these two things. Just things like that, ways of thinking.
You know, some writers and poets write for a myriad of reasons. Some write primarily to speak a message to their audience. Others write because to stay silent is not an option. Why do you write? You may have already answered this, but again, why do you write?
I write because this is not going to make sense, but I will explain it the best I can. I write to do something with the words that are stuck in the can. And by doing something, I mean I have to write them down to make sure they're real. I don't know, but I have to. I've written about this before. I have to do something with the words that stick.
Do something with the words that stick.
Or it just seems like a waste.
All right. Well, what do you want your poetry to do? Where do you want it to go?
Where do I want it to go? I don't know where I want it to go. What I want it to do is I want it to make people think. Even if they don't like it or they don't understand, it's like if they just focus on one word or one phrase, it's like, I'm going to think about that. That's worth thinking about. What is she talking about? I'm going to think about that. I just want you to think. I just want the reader to think. Anyone who reads it to think.
Well, on that note, please share some more of your work.
All right. Let's see. All right. I've got one up. It's called Winter. This is also about the experience of living in Maine, but a lot of places, other places have wintertime, but this is what winter in Maine looked like to me when I wrote this. So this is called Winter, and it's a haiku. To vibrate and crunch, the whiteness, ice and snow, cold sunlight still blinds, the end.
I want to think and allow that to sink in. I could visualize.
Well, think of it when you've been driving. Even though the sunlight's cold, does it still blind you? Do you still have to put the thing down, the visor?
Yeah.
Do you still got to put on sunglasses? There's no warmth, but it's still going to make it so you can't see.
That's true. Please share another.
All right, here's one I'm really proud of. This is a haiku. This is about, and this will be a perfect segue into somebody I want to talk about who helped with scratching the surface. This is called, all right, I'm going to spell it out, and I'll say it, just so you know what I'm talking about. This is called Damn. D-A-Y. Hyphen U-M. Damn! She says, what the hell? We say, I really like them. He says, oh, damn! The end. That's our friends down the road. He's from... He's from the South, so that's what he says. He says, damn!
Yeah, I've heard that many times growing up. Well, who would you like to talk about that helped you with scratching the surface?
I really want to talk about the wonderful and lovely and talented Rachel Webster, because she did, when it comes out, I'm so sorry that you can't look at it right now, but she did the cover art. You know, she painted the cover art, and she also did all the photography for the book. So if you see a photograph in the book, and it's probably only going to be two pictures, you know, about the author, you know, it's going to be pictures of me. Sorry. She took them.
And
so
her name
thank
again?
You very much. Rachel Webster. And she
well,
is
Webster,
in the book, credited. Rachel
congratulations
Webster.
On your work. Congratulations on your work with my friend Valerie Beers. I think that's great.
Oh, yes.
Well, before we close out, do you have one more poem that you can share?
I do have one more poem I can share, of course. I have a whole book.
That's true.
All right, I think this is apropos because I just read in the newspaper, the local newspaper here, the fire department, which I was a member of, department, is
oh,
disbanding.
Wow.
There's not enough people, things like that. So this is called Chimney Fire. A chimney fire in October is scary. I really hate heights. Man.
Valerie, you know I like your work. Do you have
yes,
one more
thank
that you,
you
can
very
slip
much.
In? Can you slip in one more before we go? One more haiku.
Of course I can. And this is very apropos because he's sitting right here. This is about my cat. This is says, this is titled For Nugget. And now he's looking at me. For Nugget. It's a haiku. A white question mark running away in the dark. Want food early. The end.
Well, everyone, we've come to the conclusion of the show this week. I'd like to thank my very special guest, Ms. Valerie Beers, for being here with me.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. Thank you.
You're more than welcome. I've had a great time listening to you, and I recommend people purchase your book, the first book, Details, and the second book, Scratching the Surface. So to everyone who's listening tonight, thank you very much. Be safe out there, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.